Before I read the opening text and start the sermon, did everybody, or at least people sitting next to each other, get this one-page handout? Everybody get it? It says sermon notes on Luke 14. Everybody get that? Okay. I put it there next to the bulletin. I didn't have it ready to put it in the bulletin. But you can look at that if you would like. Or if you just want to listen, that is fine too. Our sermon is based on Luke 14, what we just heard in the gospel reading. And to start, and a key verse in this is verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. You should have seen the size of my shoes compared to Violet's. Violet's had little shoes. You might say that's an example, a really vivid one. Somebody with big shoes could stomp on somebody's feet with little shoes pretty easily, couldn't it? We know that would be wrong. We know that would be wrong. But people do it. And the people, and I'll continue to use that example or that metaphor of shoes. People with the biggest shoes, who's going to stop them if they want to do that? Jesus looked at how people were seating themselves at this dinner. And he gave them some advice. Be careful where you sit. You might not be wearing, and let me use that metaphor, you might not be wearing the biggest shoes there. Somebody else more important may be asked to sit there, and you yourself may have to go back. It's rather, be humble. Now that's a piece of advice that one doesn't have to be a Christian to know. That's probably pretty good to do. Don't assume too much. Don't make too much of yourself. Let others raise you up instead of raising you up yourself. But I have a quote, and you can read it or not. It's up to you on that handout. A quote from a Lutheran commentator on the Gospel of Luke. And he makes a point on this verse 11. This verse 11 shows us that this is more than just advice. This is a spiritual truth that Christians really need to pay attention to. Lenski says about verse 11 there, all this would be little more than a sarcastic dig at the Pharisees at table with Jesus, if he had not added. So Lenski says, if we see what Jesus says about not being too proud, and not making too much of yourself, let somebody else raise you up, don't raise yourself up. That's kind of a human wisdom. Many people might realize that. And so Jesus might just be making a sarcastic joke and giving them some human wisdom. But Lenski added, in verse 11, Jesus is recorded saying in his translation, because everyone exalting himself shall be humbled, and the one humbling him his own self shall be exalted. And then in the next paragraph, I just underlined the one sentence. These future passives have God as their agent. Lenski is telling us, pay attention to what Jesus says here at the end of the parable. Because Jesus is saying that you know who humbles and you know who raises up, you know who really does that is God. That's the one who humbles and who raises up. This can be a general human wisdom in various societies and cultures. Let somebody else raise you up. But Jesus says at the end, whoever humbles himself will be raised up. And whoever raises himself up will be humbled. And he's looking into the future. And who has the power to raise up or to humble anybody at all, whether they have big or little shoes, is God. God is the one in charge. This is more than just a human proverb or wisdom, as wise as it may be. But this is Jesus saying, look, God knows your heart and mind. God knows what is going on. Now, where was the first place that people are told or tempted, raise yourself up? You're more important. You can eat of that fruit, for God knows you will not die, but your eyes will be open, knowing good and evil, and you will be like God. You see, Adam and Eve, raise yourselves up. You're like God. Don't bother with his law, his rule not to eat of that tree. No, you can eat of it. You'll be like God. And there is this natural inclination ever since to make ourselves better. The competition. I've been in sports. I've been in classrooms where you're competing for grades, and you have too. And competition at work. Jesus' words give us pause and make us think, why are we behaving that way? Is it something just to help myself? Or is it something to help others? And we know if we can rise up in a job, rise up at a company, we might be able to help others. That's not always, it's usually you think, I'm getting more power, I'm getting better, I'm getting more salary. But there can be a thought, I'm doing this to help my family, I'm doing this to help the company. Jesus' words call us to think of our reasonings inside our minds, why we're behaving this way or that way. Now this is a thing for Christians to think about, because it calls us to pay attention to what God is seeing in our hearts and our minds, our motives. As we look around the U.S., not so many people, they don't care about God. That's just something some people believe. So for much of our society, it's just get ahead of myself. But we're not talking to our society in general. We're talking about those who know that there is a God who understands and knows all things. And Jesus is teaching, look, there is one who humbles the proud, and there is one who raises up the humble, and it will happen. There is an accounting. Jesus calls us to see that. And that day at that dinner, he called them. They were all Jews. They all believed in the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all believed. But Jesus is saying to those people at that dinner that day, God knows what you're thinking. And God can raise you up and God can pull you down. Think about that. And God knows our motives. Sometimes a person might have a motive, kind of a reverse psychology motive. Aha, if I look real humble, then that will look good and then they'll raise me up. God knows that thinking. He knows what that person is thinking. So whether it's just a crass, I'm just going to get better than everybody else, I'll just step on anybody, or more sneaky and saying, oh, I'll look humble and then they'll praise me and I'll get to be more well known. God knows what we're thinking. And we see so often in our lives, we fail, we sin. We're frequently trying to make ourselves more important, putting ourselves in front of others. In that verse 11 of Jesus' teaching, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself exalted." That is exactly when we look at Jesus, what he is about and what the gospel is about. Not in our imperfect way with our sins, but what he has done for us. And on the back of that, the backside of that half-page handout, I have Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 written. Because this Philippians passage, when I studied the parable and Jesus saying here, just immediately brought to mind the teachings about Jesus and what he's done for us. I read, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Christian churches, so many times, it's good and right to have a cross. And sometimes we may wear crosses if we're a Christian. And that cross represents the serving Jesus, the serving Savior, the Savior who is willing to die for the sins of the world. It really tells us and reminds us what we're about. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was not ashamed to save us. Born of the Virgin Mary, born in a humble setting, resisting Satan's temptation in the wilderness. "Oh, if you bow down and worship me, Jesus, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of the world." No, that's not the way Jesus would save. That was the devil's way of thinking. Instead, he would teach and preach and heal, be arrested, be tortured, unfair judgment, dying across the worst death. To be Lord to that amount, so that we would be raised up. He willingly went down to the bottom, so that we would be raised up with his righteousness, with his forgiveness. He's the servant, willing to be humbled. And then we say, "Jesus, you saved me. You died on the cross for me. And now you've risen from the dead." And what did the risen Lord and Savior, our risen Lord and Savior, say to his disciples that day, or say to the women, to tell the disciples? "Tell them, I no longer call you disciples, but I call you brothers." So that even as he is risen from the dead and he has all glory and honor, still he calls us brothers and sisters. This is a challenge for us to, in our hearts and minds, to be humble, to always say, "I'm willing not to be recognized. I'm willing to be passed by. I'm willing to serve." It's a challenge and a temptation not to say, "I want to raise myself up. I want to be famous." For Christians or non-Christians, this is the temptation continually. A way to get through this, to resist this temptation or repent of the sin when we do it and become too proud, is to look to the cross. What did Jesus do for me? How did he save me? He humbled himself, even to the point of the death on the cross. And so I praise him and honor him and look to him. Lord Jesus, help me think like that. Help me think like that. Help me know that there is a God who knows all my thinkings and all sees everything I do. Help me to be repent. Help me to repent and to be sorry. Help me to see that to serve others, I can't be like you, but to serve others, this is what is good and right. Help me to do that. And Jesus, when I sin and I don't do that, help me look to you to know that even those sins of pride that I might have, you've forgiven them. You've forgiven them too. Help me look to you. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we ask you to forgive us when we have been prideful and raised ourselves up over other people. Even though the world does this all the time, we know this is not your thinking. But rather, Heavenly Father, forgive our sins. Help us to look to Jesus, who has taken these sins away, and put a sense of and spirit of his humility and service to others in us, so that we can rejoice. And we know that you set all things in motion and are in control of all things. We're not afraid to serve others and to take care of others. Help us, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.